Welcome to the second Clinical Oncology Podcast Extra. I'm delighted to be speaking today to Anna Olson-Brown and Chris Jones, who are medical and clinical oncology trainees, about NOCH, which is a trainee research collaborative that Chris established and Anna is now chair of. So thank you very much for joining us today. First of all, could you tell us a bit about what NOCH is about?
Yeah, thanks, Finn. So NOCH is the National Oncology Trainees Collaborative for Healthcare Research. It's a grassroots trainee-led research collaborative that we established a number of years ago. Initially as a northern endeavour with six centres across the north of England, those being Liverpool, Leeds, Manchester, Newcastle and Sheffield getting involved. And our aim in establishing NOCH was to set up something that would be a platform for both clinical and medical oncology trainees to gain experience both in research and research leadership. And we've grown from being that northern organisation to now being a national organisation. I was previously the chair of NOCH and am now lead for the advisory group, and Anna is now the chair.
Thank you very much. So where did the idea for the collaborative come in the first place? And what was kind of involved in setting it up?
First had the idea for establishing NOCH when I was very early on in my clinical oncology training. And I think at that point, I noticed that we were being asked to complete a number of small single centre retrospective projects. These were largely audits or quality improvement projects. And I thought that actually what we could be doing is capitalising on trainees' time and giving them more reward for the time they're investing in projects by doing these on a larger scale and doing these as collaborative ventures. And at that time, what we saw was that the surgeons were having lots of success having set up trainee collaboratives, and they'd started doing trainee collaboratives in specific sites and in general surgery, and they'd expanded from doing retrospective audits to prospective trials. And I thought we might be able to do a similar thing in oncology. So we established NOCH, as I say, as a predominantly northern endeavour there, and it's grown from there, and really it's grown due to the hard work of Anna and many others that have been on our committee and what became the trainee board throughout the time that we've been setting up and sort of pursuing NOCH.
Okay, and how have things changed since NOCH first began?
So I think since it first began, essentially it was just trying to initially understand where we wanted to go and how to build from a very, very defined endeavour and a defined sort of niche that we wanted to then work out how we could expand both to include more centres, but also, as Chris says, over time potentially go from retrospective studies through to prospective studies. And I think the thing that was really key to that was understanding that we needed a very defined structure to do that. We needed to understand that there was a need for a board and also how we were going to coordinate projects across the country. And that led to us setting up a system where we have a board with regional representation, and those regional representatives lead down into local centres. It's also really important to say that we're really, really wedded to the idea of this being very much a joint oncology endeavour. So it has to have and it really thrives on the fact that it has both medical oncologists and clinical oncologists involved in each centre. And that allows us to be able to work together more closely, which I think is something that has been increasing over recent years, but is still something that would benefit from extra collaborative work, and also to allow all registrars the opportunity to gain as much as they possibly can from the project. So that means that within each centre there is clinical and medical oncology representation, and then each project is coordinated by each local centre, and they can recruit as many trainees of any grade of training to each of the projects, which we thought would be really useful in terms of getting the manpower behind it to need it to be able to actually deliver those projects, but also enable people who are interested in oncology at earlier stages in their career to get interested and involved earlier to see if it is something they want to be involved in. So we have a very defined structure, we have a very defined way of calling for projects, and then we have a way of feeding back into the main NOCH board, and the main NOCH board normally meets once a month via video setup. So it means that we don't have to all be in the same location, but it means that we touch base very regularly and we can keep a control and keep an eye on all of the projects that are running simultaneously.
Okay, I guess, Anna, just to add to that, and I don't know if you agree with this or not, but I think another change in NOCH over the time that we've been set up is that when we were setting up, it was very much us chasing centres to be involved and selling Notch. And actually, what happened was that we were successful very early on. And I think lots of trainees and indeed their seniors bought into Notch very early on. And now we find that centres come to us and want to be involved. And Notch is something that's sort of recognisable brand. And so as we've grown and put in these structures, I think our reputation and the desire for other centres to want to get involved in our activities has also grown.
I think I'd absolutely agree with that. And one of the things we found is with each project, that's been the case. So we've gained more footfall. We also recognised that we needed to have a formal AGM and be very visible in that. So we partnered with the UK Oncology Forum very early, and we have our AGM there each year so that people can come and join and meet with us, but also that we have endorsement from them, but also recognising that endorsement is important. We're also endorsed by the RCR and also the ACP, so that our representative bodies also understand and support Notch, which allows registrars to recognise they're getting involved in a robust and established entity that will allow them to reach both personal and institutional aims. So it's been rolling and growing in numbers and in recognition over the last 18 months, 2 years.
And of course, we did start the Oncology Mexican wave with CT Rad following it after.
We did. We've got strong precedent to maintain.
It's clear how much effort and organisation has gone into thinking about the structure and how Notch is run. You mentioned, Chris, earlier on about surgical research collaboratives. What, if anything, have you learnt from those? I know there's also one for breast cancer trainees.
Yeah, I think there was a huge amount to learn from the surgical collaboratives as we set up. What they did is they got a model sorted very early on in their existence. And so they were able to start doing retrospective projects. They learned how to work together nationally and then internationally, and they continued to expand as they learned those lessons. And we tried to do a similar thing. So we tried to learn from them and their experience. Indeed, we were very lucky to have Dmitry Nepogodiev, who's one of the surgical trainees, sitting on our advisory board when we began. And we learned from their experiences. And we also then started to put in a structure that we thought would work for Notch on a northern basis and expanded from there.
The other thing that's really important is when you're building a collaborative like this, that actually understanding what your niche and your remit and your USP, if you like, is. And I think one of the things that is maybe slightly different from the surgical group is that obviously oncology is driven largely by tumour group. So we had to understand how we could work and be synergistic with other groups. What we really didn't want to be and didn't need to be is in direct competition with anybody. And I think, you know, there's so many questions that remain unanswered, and the requirement for real world data is ever increasing. So there was never a need to do anything other than work collaboratively with all of these groups. And I think that's where we had to think quite early on about what Notch's place in this sort of repertoire was. And that allowed us to do a couple of things. One is to identify that we wanted to look at broad questions that affect many tumour groups at the same time. So things like acute oncology, radiotherapy questions that are very broad, but also look at rare tumour types which wouldn't necessarily get encompassed into a tumour group specific entity. So our first project was looking at thymomas, and we have a meningioma project coming forward relatively soon. So very rare tumours where you need a very broad number of centres to be able to get a big enough sample size to actually answer some significant questions. So we identified the areas that we wanted to work in, and then went and have already had many conversations with multiple different other trainee led groups about how we may work with them. So some of that is, you know, if for example we had a project proposal that was looking at breast cancer specifically, we'd actually talk to the breast cancer group rather than us doing it as a Notch project. But also understanding how we might be able to feed in an oncology position from the Notch side of things into other projects. So for example, if the surgeons were putting together a project but wanted an oncology sort of angle from it, then actually we've been sort of over time building up position statements to understand how we might work with those projects without it being a Notch project. So I think there are a number of different things that we've had to navigate in terms of working with other groups that mean that you maintain your identity, but also can contribute more broadly as and when needed.
I agree with that, Anna, and the project selection aspect has clearly been hugely important. And I think actually where that's important and perhaps where we have differed a little bit from the preceding surgical collaboratives is in terms of the need to infuse trainees. And I think oncology trainees, whether in medical oncology or clinical oncology, are very different to surgical trainees. There are a lot more surgical trainees. There's potentially more pressure for jobs for the surgical trainees as well. And so perhaps there's a different sort of push and pull factors in terms of wanting to get involved in collaborative research. And we've had to reflect that. And whilst building on the previous surgical collaboratives work, we've perhaps had to change our approach a little bit, in particular through ensuring we choose the right projects to ensure that we get trainees involved in NOTCH.
I wanted to ask about the projects you've been involved in. Annie had mentioned some of the early projects were to do with thymomas and meningioma. Can you tell us a bit more about what projects NOTCH has been involved with? And also, as a second question, what potential future projects or types of studies would you like to become involved with?
Of course. So we started with, when we chose our projects, we started with both one that we knew was going to be a rare cancer with small numbers, and also one that we knew was going to take longer to bring to fruition because it was bigger numbers across more tumour types. So, and we've tried to do that to link a slightly smaller project and a slightly bigger project together, so that we've got a number of projects running simultaneously, but not requiring too much work in terms of burden for the people on the ground doing the data collection at any one time. So we started with a thymoma project, which was hosted by Abigail Galt, who's a medical oncology trainee up in Newcastle, and that project completed late last year and has now had a poster presentation which won the best poster at BTOG this year, and it's being developed into a manuscript at the moment. We then went from there and developed an immunotherapy toxicity project, which I led on for NOTCH, which has a poster being presented at ASCO this week, and is also being built into two manuscripts at present. So they were the two projects that we've run and brought to fruition and coming to their conclusion. We were aware of the fact that we wanted other projects to go alongside that. So for our second round, we selected the meningioma project, which is going through centres at the moment in setup. And we also ran an acute oncology project, which was much more about existing data, lifting existing data within trusts and correlating that data together. So that's going on at the moment as part of a much bigger national piece of work on acute oncology, which is coming to look at acute oncology services and how they tie into training with all of the training changes that we're expecting over the next couple of years. So they're the projects that we've done so far. They're quite diverse in terms of the size of them and the different data requirements that have been involved. And then going forward, we are building a frailty project. The reason the frailty project is interesting is it's our first prospective project. So that's going down a formal ethical approval route at the moment. And then we'll be prospectively looking at the assessment of frailty in oncology patients. And that's being held, run by Helen Dearden, who's based up in Leeds. So I think the sort of the evolution of NOTCH projects is clear to see even in the ones that we've done so far, and we're looking at bigger projects with more data, more centres, and also moving from a retrospective position to a prospective position. We're just about to go out for another round of projects because all of the projects we have in place at the moment have got protocols and are underway. So our next project round will go out at the beginning of June, and projects will be selected with a view to beginning to build the protocols in September, October time.
Thank you very much for that. You mentioned something about rare tumours and how a multi-centre approach might be beneficial for those. And you've mentioned about prospective projects as well versus retrospective. But what advice would you have to someone who's thinking, well, should I not just do my own projects in my own centre, or should I try to do something in NOTCH?
So there are lots of advantages to thinking a NOTCH project as opposed to a local one. Don't get me wrong, there are advantages to doing a local project if there's a very specific question you want to answer. However, I think there are different levels of benefit from a NOTCH perspective. So from a purely clinical perspective and an impact perspective, obviously more a project involved with involving more numbers is much more likely to be able to make a meaningful conclusion that is meaningful for that tumour group and that population, not just for a specific centre and their own activities. It's also worth saying that you can review your own centre's data as well as contributing to the national collection. So you kind of get both advantages. You can look at your local activity and then contribute to a more national activity, which I think is important. Also, by going through sort of the selection process, you can identify things that are actually important nationally. So it helps you identify where you're going to best lay your efforts, because I think sometimes when you're doing local audit, sometimes it's completely motivated by something you specifically want to know and it's very trainee led. But that is in reality the minority of cases. And in the majority of cases, it tends to be something that is gifted to you by one of your supervisors or, you know, and would be useful. But then if that's the case, then doing something with Notch probably gives you much more personal benefit. There's also the benefit of actually being involved in a national project. You know, that involves a lot of leadership skills. It involves a lot of team working skills. You develop the ability to create a protocol which needs to be understood and used by others. You also understand how to integrate with statisticians and other specialties, and also lead your local team as well as your project team. So even if you're only involving yourself in the collection, actually still navigating that and coordinating that locally across different specialties is actually hugely beneficial in terms of your sort of generic professional capabilities and your transferable skills. So it's not just the opportunity to be involved in an audit and be able to tick the audit bit and the quality improvement bit on your curriculum, but actually gives you both clinical leadership and teamwork skills as well. So it offers lots of things in addition to what you get from a local project.
Well, I think it's absolutely that, Anna. And I think one of the real advantages of the Notch approach is that you can get a graded exposure to research and to research leadership skills. So by working across centres and having that scale, it's possible to get involved in Notch and collect data and know you're generating clinical impact and also generate what we hope will be high impact publications and presentations. But there's also an opportunity with that scale to go on to be a centre lead or to go on to lead a project and perhaps propose a project in the future. And so what Anna's really wonderfully outlined there is that our aim when we set up Notch was not just to provide leadership, it was not just to provide research experience and not just to provide trainees with the opportunity to collaborate with one another, but to give them the opportunity to gain research leadership experience. And I think that multi-centre approach enables them to do that whilst also generating projects and data that's of sufficient impact to potentially change care and lead to those high impact publications.
It sounds like there are lots of potential advantages with being involved in a Notch project. I wanted to ask, what sort of trainees do you think Notch is aimed at?
I think the simple answer to that is everyone. We were very keen when we set up Notch all those years ago to ensure that we generated a vehicle that would enable both medical and clinical oncology trainees of any experience, including those both on the integrated academic training program and those that are pursuing standard clinical pathways. We wanted to provide all of these groups with the opportunity to gain research and research leadership experience. And I think it comes back to this graded exposure idea, in that trainees of all levels and of all levels of interest in research can get involved in Notch and can sort of gain more skills as they do. Crucially, we're keen not to be a reserve of academics. So when you look at our trainee board at the moment, and as it's been over the last couple of years, it's a good mix of those that are on an integrated academic training program or have perhaps done formal academic training and those that haven't. And we aim to work seamlessly together to provide academic training to trainees of any academic interest.
And I think to add to that, I think the reason it can do that, so obviously the difference in prior experience is quite significant, depending on how far through your training you are, whether you are an academic trainee or not, whether you've been out of program and done a PhD or not. So I think, you know, it's not to say that that everybody would do the same things within the collaborative, and that's one of the great things about it. So if you've not done anything academic for the first time, actually just handling a protocol and starting to collect data is a really nice first step to understanding how research might look. Similarly, if you're an academic, if you're an integrated academic program, that itself doesn't actually mean that you've delivered large scale national projects. So whilst you may be more research minded and have a bit more understanding of research skills and maybe excellent in a lab, you may never have delivered a multi-centre project before. And this is actually the first time that you can actually start doing that in a very supported environment. But actually bringing centres together and actually essentially acting like a CI is a skill that you can learn. So it's important for trainees to recognise what it is that they want to get out of Notch, because that will enable them to understand which bit of the collaborative they get involved with, but actually it offers expansion and learning for any trainee, irrespective of your sort of academic background, because of that.
It does sound like the kind of opportunities, regardless of what your interests and career intentions are. I wanted to turn to some of the challenges of perhaps coordinating data collection and accuracy and managing that process across multiple sites.
So I think we recognised very early on that actually the key to a happy life is a standard operating procedure, as sad as that might sound. And actually, it's really, really important that people know what they're meant to do. There is several steps to that. One is about when you initially write a protocol, making sure that what the person who thinks they've written something has actually written that. So there's a very long process after your project's been selected, where the proposal is reviewed, but then also the protocol is reviewed both by the trainee board, by the working steering group that's set up around individual projects, and also our advisory board also look at the proposals and the protocols to make sure that what the person who's written them think they're saying is actually what they're saying. And then the same thing, so there's a standardized data collection tool that's created for each project that is put in with numerated data, so that it's very clear. You need to have consistency amongst data collection, and obviously if people are doing this for the first time, they may never have experienced that or be aware of the fact that that's really key. So a standardized protocol, a standardized data collection tool, and very, very strong coding very, very early on lead to steps that will allow you to deliver a project that is as consistent as it can be. Now, we know that with real world data, consistency is always going to be a challenge. You know, if the physician hasn't written down the piece of information that you need, you're never going to be able to collect it. And that is a recognised challenge of real world data. However, by putting these standard processes in place and having robust mechanisms to deliver them, actually that's the way that we've increasingly understood that that's how you have to deliver these projects. I don't know if you want to talk about an example, Chris.
No, I completely agree with you on all of that, Anna. And I think what we identified very early as being important is that we did have those safeguards, both in terms of the quality of the data that we have and in terms of obtaining that data with the right governance approvals and with the requisite ethical approvals. And so what we did in our earlier projects is we spoke with trusts that would be providing the data. We made sure that we formally registered our projects, whether they were in audit or in a different way, with those trusts, and that we got the requisite approvals from each contributing centre. And Anna spoke earlier about the prospective frailty study that we have planned. And with that study, what we're doing is we're working very hard both to ensure that we get ethical approval from HRA and the other relevant bodies that are across the UK, but also that we are able to collect data in a robust way that means that the data that we get at the end is adequate to be statistically analysed, and so we can come up with findings from it. I would say that as well as these safeguards in terms of the quality of the data and meeting ethics, that there are other challenges, and we've been very lucky throughout the time that we've been running Notch to have the support of an advisory group. And that started off as quite a fluid concept, and we'd have senior consultants and academics within each centre supporting us, but we've now settled on a group of 10 or so senior consultants and academics from the different regions represented by Notch, who provide us with support, and we meet with them virtually twice a year, and that advisory group is led by the outgoing Notch chair. And there are, of course, other challenges that the Notch chair and the advisory group need to grapple with, in addition to those we've discussed in terms of safeguards on data. And those are going to include and do include quite considerable administrative effort, and Anna will be dealing with a lot of that now as chair, and the need to maintain communication across lots of centres with busy clinicians, and that's a challenge in itself. We've also seen that when we generate data and we get that in a robust way from the centres, we then need to analyse that in a robust way, and of course that often requires statistical support, and there are cost implications to that. And indeed, for the entire time that we've been running Notch, we've had no specific funding, and that adds in its own difficulties, particularly at least pre-COVID, in terms of meeting with one another to prepare projects. And of course, it's an ongoing challenge, but a really enjoyable one, to make sure that we are equitable between the two specialties, between medical and clinical oncology, and that we're allowing all centres across the country to participate in Notch activities, and indeed that we're encouraging trainees both at the registrar level and those more junior to them.
So you've talked a lot about kind of standardising data collection and ensuring accuracy of that. How do you then coordinate data analysis and manuscript preparation?
So what we do is we identify a writing group early on. So to take us back a step, before a project is proposed, we actually ensure that the proposer has a statistician or access to statistical analysis support prior to them proposing the project. So very early on, before it's even selected, we need to make sure that there is an appropriate wraparound support for the individual who's leading the project and with regards to analysis. Once that's been done and that's been put in place, and there are multiple different ways that can be put in place. We aren't rigid about that. It just has to be established by the project lead. The way we then take that forward after the data's been collected to write a manuscript is we form a manuscript writing group, which is a much smaller group of individuals who overview the data analysis, and then once the data has been analysed, come up with the key questions based on the outcomes that have been proposed in the first instance to come up and to derive the manuscript or manuscripts that we may bring forward from a project. And after that, then individual people within that writing group then take the lead for writing individual parts of the manuscript. Only once we're happy that we've got an initial draft that we're happy with, well, then that manuscript is circulated initially to the Notch board. An initial group of feedback is given, and then after that, obviously, everybody that's contributed will get access to see the manuscript. Nothing's published without all contributors being able to comment on the manuscript, and that's the same for abstracts as well.
We should probably also, Anna, mention our authorship guidelines, which I think are quite important.
Yes.
And what we learned from the surgeons very early on, and they've actually published guidance on this through the Association of Surgeons in Training, is the need to recognise all trainees that participate in collaborative studies. And so within our terms of reference, there's a clause that for all of the original studies that we do, we will publish them under a single byline of the National Oncology Trainees Collaborative for Healthcare Research, and that all collaborators will then be listed separately. And what we do within the manuscripts then is we acknowledge the contribution of all of the trainees that have participated in that particular project. So those that, for instance, have contributed to data collection will be recognised as such. Those that form part of a writing group that Anna outlined will be recognised as such. And the chief investigator for the study, so Anna, for instance, for the immunotherapy project, will be recognised as such. And I think that means that we're able to do things in an equitable way. It also means there's no pressure, perhaps, to put those more senior further up the authorship list. But what it also does is it allows trainees to take that manuscript to, say, their first consultant interview, and there's written evidence of their contribution to the specific project there as well.
So Anna, you're now the chair of Notch. So you've talked a little bit about some of the future plans, but what are your kind of the key things that you want to do with Notch while you're the chair?
So I think there's a couple of things really. One is to continue to expand it in terms of the number of centres and the number of trainees are involved. We are in discussion with multiple different people in terms of funding. I think, as Chris alluded to earlier, all of this has happened without specific funding. I think we're now getting to a point where we've proven our worth, if you like, and we've shown that we can deliver and have output. So we are getting to a point where we are looking for some funding and support. So that would be something I want to pursue during my chairship. The other thing is that we are and have always been really focused on the element of this is about education and training. So a lot of that is by participation, and that shouldn't be underestimated. But also we have always wanted to deliver a research training day. We feel that there's lots of research training in the UK, but not necessarily for early researchers teaching sort of fundamental research skills within a real world setting. So we've wanted to do that as an adjunct to the rest of the research offering within the UK. So we are aiming to have our first Notch Research Education Day. We're aiming for that to be in October this year, obviously COVID dependent, in the hope of starting to sort of just enhance that education element of the collaboration.
And if it's not able to take place in person with COVID, are there still plans for a virtual workshop?
So I think that's an excellent question, and one we need to explore. I think we need to understand about whether there would be an interest in that. So I think, like all things that are new, it would be an assessment, and it's easy to do that because we can ask our participants whether they would be interested in it or not. Obviously, we want to get to a point where we want something that's to be attended and useful. So if there was a feeling that there would be a utility to that amongst the oncology community, then yes, there's absolutely no reason we wouldn't deliver it virtually. Obviously, everything's preferable in its early stages to be delivered face to face to get that sort of breadth of experience, and that's fine. But if there was an interest, then yes, we'd certainly be looking to deliver it virtually if we could.
So finally, the last thing I wanted to ask about was that I saw Notch Howe has several affiliations, including from the Association of Cancer Physicians, Royal College of Radiologists, and NCRI. I wondered why you thought those things were important and what they might mean moving forward.
So I think the first thing is that actually recognition of us as an entity. So Notch is a grassroots development. It's something that was put together by a very motivated, and then a group of very motivated trainees. And actually to have come from something so sort of dedicated but relatively unsupported through to something that's a national collaborative, I think it's actually really important for that to be endorsed and supported by our professional bodies. And actually, I have to say, it's been phenomenally humbling to as how supportive they've been. The other thing is that everybody's very busy. The community is always, cancer services are very stretched and things are difficult in terms of communication. We want to make sure that as many registrars are aware of our existence and can get involved in Notch as want to. And really the best way to do that is to be involved and be endorsed by our professional body so that they can find out about our activities and get involved and get in contact with us. That was another reason. I think the other thing is that we really truly respect and need senior input in terms of there's a lot of experience there that we need to tap into. So a number of, that we have an RCR representative and an ACP representative and an NCRI representative and an RCP representative, all of whom sit on our senior committee. And that really means that we know that we're moving in the right direction. We can gain the benefit of their experience. And that's really only doable by having those affiliations. So I think it was validation for the collaborative. It allows us to communicate effectively with the registrar body in the best possible way, and also means we gain the benefit of their vast experience to develop Notch in a really promising way.
That's great. Thank you very much, Anna and Chris as well, for telling us about Notch today.
Thank you for listening to this Clinical Oncology Podcast Extra. For more podcasts, including interviews with key figures in the clinical oncology community, discussions regarding the latest developments in radiotherapy technologies, issues concerning clinical oncology training, and UK oncology community's response to the COVID-19 pandemic, please see the podcast section of the Clinical Oncology website at www.clinicaloncologyonline.net. Thank you for listening.